You are listening to Sherpa Shorts, a special presentation of the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep going with episode 8 in our Sherpa Shorts.
Hey friends, this is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
We are making our way through the alphabet one letter at a time, having a blast doing it. I hope you're enjoying our Sherpa Shorts.
Absolutely.
Season 2.
Season 2. Can you believe it? We've been around long enough to have a season 2 of anything.
Season 2. You know, most shows get canceled after season 2.
Don't wish that evil on us, Ricky Bobby.
Well, we're having a blast. We hope you are too. And don't forget to listen for the secret words embedded in each episode so that you can enter into our contest to win a free stay at the Sherpa House during the National Youth Workers Convention in November.
Sherpas will be at the exhibit hall once again at the National Youth Workers Convention, looking forward to hanging out with just some of the most awesome people on the planet.
It's true. Leaders. It's true. We have already booked it.
That's right.
We are booked. Good to go, man.
And booth number, what was it?
742.
742, guys. Be on the lookout. Booth 742 is going to be straight fire.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for the next letter?
We are, and okay. It's your turn, even though you didn't know it was your turn, and so I'm very excited about this letter. Steve, what is your word for
the letter H?
My word for the letter H is halicon.
Halicon.
Halicon. Wait, I better check the pronunciation.
Halicon?
All right. The word is halicon.
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 Halicon. You're going to have to define that for me because I have no idea what you're saying.
I've got the definition.
I was going
right
to say,
here.
Right now all I think is halicon, which is a pretty amazing Bon Iver song, but I'm sure it's different.
It's actually a noun. It's a tropical Asian and African kingfisher with brightly colored plumage. But that's not how I'm using it today.
Great. I'm actually good. I'm glad with that.
It also says it's a mythical bird said by ancient writers to breed in a nest floating at sea at the winter solstice, charming the wind and waves into calm.
All right.
But that's not what
no
I mean.
No idea
either.
How this is relating to
ministry. This is the word of the day, halicon, denoting a period of time in the past that was idyllically happy and peaceful.
Hmm.
So it's like looking back at your career in youth ministry, what was the season of ministry where things were just amazingly happy and peaceful? If you had to look back and say, that was such a sweet time.
Wow.
Where would you put that period of time?
That is a great question.
Yeah.
That is a really great question.
Because it's seasonal.
It is totally seasonal.
It has ups
seasonal.
And downs.
Yep.
And, you know, we have many seasons under our belts now.
Yep.
Many classes of students.
Yep. I typically am not good. I mean, just on the opposite of that spectrum, just season-wise, I'm really not good in the winter.
Yeah.
Like when I was in Green Bay, my pastor told me, like, I will never accept your resignation letter
right.
between the months of January and March.
Right.
I used to think it was sad, seasonal affection disorder.
Uh-huh.
But then I moved to Oregon. And in Oregon, you don't really have a winter. You just have a rainy season.
Right.
But it doesn't rain all the time. They tell you it rains all the time. It's their way of keeping people from moving to Oregon. It's a dirty little secret. and then I was able to golf year-round.
Okay.
I could play golf in January and February when it wasn't raining. Then it wasn't so bad. So I don't think I had sad. I think I had GAD. I had golf affectionate disorder. The months of the year that I can't play golf are just typically very bad.
Oh, that
me.
Is true.
Anyway,
yeah, it's awful.
Anyway, I digress. This is a bigger picture.
This
is a bigger picture. Yeah. The peaceful season of ministry. I know that I would say about a year or so after I got married. I was a single guy in youth ministry, and so I adjusted to that, and then I got engaged, and then I got married, and there was definitely a transition period there, but I was in, at that point in time then, I was in my sixth, seventh year at the church. It was my first position.
That's probably a good time period.
It was a really sweet time of ministry because the depth of relationships were there.
Right.
I had built the trust of the church.
Right.
I had actually figured out what the heck I was doing because I kind of made it up as I was going. I had no formal training.
Mm-hmm.
I think the extent of my training leading into my first youth ministry position was a one-day national resource seminar that that Youth Specialties used to do back in the day. And I, you know, I'd gotten married. We'd settled into married life. We were pregnant with our first kid. Mm-hmm. And so the ministry was invested in my marriage and mm-hmm. now invested in this new child who was going to come. And I just remember that was such a sweet, peaceful, wonderful time of ministry because it was sort of a combination of everything. It was things at the church, things in the youth group, things at home. Everything converged and were intertwined in a way that just I don't think many other occupations or careers have. And all of it just added up to, man, I can't believe the place I'm in. I can't believe the thing I get to do and the person I get to be and the person the people I get to do it with. I just remember that being a really, really, and that was for a couple of years.
Do you still have special relationships with some of the students from that time?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. We literally just, we sent some support letters out for our two kids who are raising money to go on our high school trip to Peru this summer. And we still send support letters, even though they don't know our kids as much, especially the two that are left in the house,
because
those kids were born actually post their time. But they're so connected to our family that we send them a letter, not only to keep in touch with them, but they're invested. I mean, I'm a little surprised at the amount of money that these former students that are now, you know, wage earning members of society sent. And that just speaks to how powerful that time was, that they're not giving money to these kids specifically, because one of them was born when we moved to Oregon. They didn't even know them necessarily, other than how, as we've kept up over the years. It just, they're giving towards a relationship that is still there. Yeah, it was really good.
Doesn't it feel really good to stop and think about those?
It does.
Things?
It actually, it's making me all warm and fuzzy right now.
Yeah.
What about you?
There have been several that I can point to that really just feel good looking back on them. One was probably 3 or 4 years into our first volunteer endeavor in youth ministry back in the early 90s, when I really fell in love with youth ministry and leading that first small group and getting opportunities to teach and just kind of catching the bug for youth ministry. I look back on those days and I think, oh, that was such a sweet time, right? And then, you know, in my current position here, I think it almost, in a lot of ways, it corresponds with my own kids.
Mm.
Is that really selfish to
say? No, not at all, no.
I can think of what I consider some of the stellar classes of graduates that we've had, both in terms of just relationships built and connections that even exist today. So there was a class in 2006 that I was really close to. Recently, I had to find housing for my son in Nashville for the summer, and I found it through a student who graduated in 2006.
That is crazy.
Who lives in California, who has a friend, who has a brother in Nashville. I mean, just the fact that that relationship is still
strong enough
that she was able to hook me up with a place for Thomas to stay is amazing.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
I just love that. And then as my kids started to graduate, 2011, 2012, 2016, like those classes are really special to me. And I think about those relationships with them and their friends. And the youth ministry was moving into a new building in 2010, 11, 12. And it grew tremendously then. So that's a really sweet time to look back on. 2016, when my youngest graduated, that was just one of the greatest classes we ever had. Those kids were super invested. They were great leaders. I have great relationships with them to this day. They were like my own kids. It's hard to replicate that, you know? So now moving forward, I still love each class in and of itself, but I look back at certain classes and certain seasons of youth ministry and think, yeah, those were the Hallison days.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
That's a great use of the word.
Isn't
yeah.
It?
I can think of a few. I mean, that was the one that popped in my mind, but I know there was a time, you know, here at my current church, here at Cedar, there's been a couple times here at Cedarbrook, one that probably is very similar to yours. I think about the two that have graduated already, my son and my daughter. And again, I think it's because so many of those students played multiple roles in my life. You know, not only were they students in my youth group, but they were my kids' best friends, and so they were at the We have lots of times where students are in our house. You know, when we plan it, we have a bonfire or we invite them over. But those were seasons where students were in my house all the time, and I had nothing to do with it, right? You know, but it was just it was a sweet time. And then I also remember a time where I spent a lot of time when I first got to this church trying to really build a strong team, a volunteer team.
That's another piece of it.
And there was some turnover when I first got here, which I think is normal, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But boy, I remember when we finally kind of what I considered got there, mm-hmm. when I would have said, "Look, man, this is a dream team where we had just in age and personality, we had such a wide breadth of people who all had one thing in common, and that was just a passion for students." And I mean, it was a couple of years running where we had this team that not only loved the students, but loved each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were the days of, I try to do like one or two staff appreciation type things each year. And, sometimes it's buy them a gift. Sometimes it's do a thing, like do an event together. In that season, it was always, they didn't want hoodies or shirts. They wanted to be together.
Yeah.
So twice a year, we'd go to a Nationals game, or we'd go to an O's game, or we did a Sunset River cruise one year, and we rented.
Wait, you didn't do a booze cruise, did you?
No, it was not a booze cruise. Okay. But we were down the Potomac in D.C., Sunset
Cruise. You don't want to go crazy like The Office.
We rented one of those inflatable places, the indoor inflatable places, Bounce U or something. We rented one for the youth staff, because all they wanted to do was play where they normally had to supervise.
Yeah.
We rented the, what do you call it? When they bring the laser tag to you, outdoor laser tag. Nice. They bring the guns and the vests, and they bring all the obstacles, and they set it up in your backyard. We did that because all they wanted to do was laugh and be together. And boy, that was just Hollison.
Hollison.
It was very Hollison.
That's how my first youth ministry experience was, with the volunteers that I was working with as teammates. And I just look back on those days with such fond memories. It's great to reminisce about that.
Yeah, and a lot of those people, they've moved on, right, not serving anymore, but we still have just this relationship and this bond that goes beyond the youth ministry now, because it was so tight.
Yeah, they've become some of your best friends, sure, even though they're not still involved in the youth ministry.
Correct.
Yeah, we have people like that too.
Awesome.
So if you stick at it long enough and you stay around a place long enough, you're able to look back at those special seasons. You don't always recognize them when you're in them.
Right.
But you're able to recognize them looking back on them, and they're just beautiful. That's what makes youth ministry worthwhile.
Absolutely. And oh, wait.
Oh,
What's that I hear? I hear a llama sound, which means we're ready for our secret word of the day,
which is
llama.
There you go.
Your eighth word is llama. Lock it in. Yeah, and I wanted to follow up with that to say the longer you stay in youth ministry and the longer you stay at your church, the better likelihood is that those are seasons, plural, not just a season. You have multiple of those seasons.
Yep.
So stick with it.
Those will get you through the dark times too.
Absolutely.
We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Sherpa Shorts as we roll through the alphabet. I hope you are anticipating all 26 of these amazing episodes. Until then,
Sherpas out.
Dude, I have some bad news.
Uh-oh, what is it?
We pronounced the word wrong the entire episode.
We're youth pastors, not English professors. It happens.
It's Hollison.
Hollison.
Hollison, not Hollison.
Hollison. Youth ministry Sherpa listeners, please accept our sincerest apologies for saying the word wrong. We had wonderful intentions, poor execution.
Hollison. Let's say it 1,000 times.
Hollison.
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 We wish you a Hollison season ever so soon.